Thank you for joining us for another episode of Exposing Scientology, where we reveal what really goes on inside this business masquerading as a church. Hi, everyone. Look who's here. It's Mike and Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Mikey.
Oh, my God. It's so good to be back. Good
to see you. It's so good to be back with you. I love you.
Oh, I love you, too.
Everybody loves you.
I missed you.
You look great. Still a silver fox.
Yeah, although it's a little thinner than it used to be.
Mike, that goes to show you what a good head of hair you have, my friend, because I couldn't tell. You look great.
Okay, well, it's really exciting to be back, Lily, and to be sort of resuming where we left off in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people have had a lot of questions about, well, what happened and what happened to the podcast and what happened to this and what happened to that.
Yeah.
All they need do is read your lawsuit.
Right.
I mean, your lawsuit lays out all of the details of both what they were trying to do and what they accomplished in messing with the producers, with the poor people who were helping us put together the podcasts. Right. And I mean, it's just a typical Scientology fair game program in operation, but it made it difficult for us to be able, like, we ended up in a position where we didn't want to be bringing harm on people that didn't deserve it and had no reason to be the subject of that shit stuff.
Good save, Mike. I think that's a great way to put it. It's unfair to people to have to deal with this in general in America, where people are just practicing free speech, to be harassed by a multi-billion dollar organization calling itself a church. I even when I tweet, Mike, I tweeted about a candle that benefited St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, and the over 200 Scientology accounts started attacking me, but also, you know, they were also doing that to the hospital, and so now I'm very cautious. I feel like I don't want to tweet anything because I feel bad for the people who have to receive this kind of hunting down and stalking and harassment from people of Scientology.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Mike and I are in a position where thankfully we have our own outlets to continue to communicate and to continue to expose what Scientology is doing, whether or not we're talking about it or not. We're still working. We're always working, Mikey and I. So that's where that's at. And until we figure this out, I think Mike's right. We feel somewhat of a responsibility to not have people who are not prepared for it to have to deal with this simply because we're speaking. And again, you know, like we've mentioned in the lawsuit, Mike, Scientology should bring lawsuits, right? They have a right to defend themselves in a court of law. And that's exactly where they should defend that, you know, should defend themselves.
Is
Scientology is claiming, like, we have a right to speak just as you do. Absolutely. What you're doing is not just speaking. You're hunting people down, following the thousands of policies under the banner of fair game, which is not just one policy, just to remind everybody, it's thousands of policies and activities that justify in their minds this hunting, this stalking, this harassment, the libel, the slander, is not justified by your beliefs or your doctrine. And so that's what I hope to end with the lawsuit, not just for me, because as you know, this has been in existence since the 50s, 60s, and has not changed to current day. And so I hope that this lawsuit will end this practice, not just for me, but for those after us. You know, people have a right to speak out. They have a right to report. They have the right to be journalists. They have a right to be comics. They have a right to to tell their stories. And that's what I'm saying. If Scientology felt that anything that anyone was saying was breaking the law in any way, was causing them not to be able to practice their religion, there's a place for that, right? And it's not under what they're, it doesn't cover the activities of what they have been doing for over five decades.
Right. That's yes. Exactly right. But Danny Masterson is supposed to be sentenced tomorrow.
Correct.
And depending on what happens, I know you're planning on going and attending the hearing. Depending on what happens, perhaps we can discuss what occurs sometime tomorrow after it's done,
of course.
Actually do even a live discussion. So we'll see. But the reason that I'm mentioning that is because it's really current news. And we've talked about your lawsuit, but I have also been writing on my blog about the incredible significance of the civil case that the Masterson victims have brought, and how much information is going to come out in the discovery process and maybe the trial of that case, which will be far broader than what was allowed in the criminal case. The criminal case was kept very narrow. What did Danny Masterson do? All of the information about Scientology's involvement in hiding witnesses, covering up evidence, not coming, being forthcoming with law enforcement, trying to keep this out of the public eye, that didn't really come out in the criminal case because it's not really relevant to what he did or did not do. But in the civil case, that stuff is definitely going to be a part of the discovery process, and it is going to be really problematic for Scientology, I am sure. And the and reason that
they're well aware of that.
Oh yeah, of course they are. They're gonna move hell or high water or whatever that expression is to prevent that case from going forward. I mean, they lost already on their effort to have that sent to the phony arbitration. So they're sort of not doing too well there. And I think that that is going to be, it's going to be a big battle no matter what. And they'll try and delay it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's very, very important and is going to be very, very interesting to watch. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I want to kind of tie it into something else that we want to talk about today. And, you know, let me start by going back with a little bit of the history of what fair game is.
Please.
And we use this term fair game as a broad statement of Scientology pattern and practice of seeking to destroy, harass, harm, upset, get fired, whatever descriptions you want to give of it, of their enemies, the people that say things that they don't like. That that sort of is the definition of an enemy of Scientology. Someone that says things they don't like or that says the truth that they don't want exposed.
Correct. For example, also another term used for Scientology's enemies is an attacker.
Right.
And they have miscategorized this purposely to dehumanize human beings who are speaking about what's happened to them, speaking about what's happened to them in and out of Scientology. And this enables Scientologists, even civilian Scientologists, to attempt to destroy the person's life by this dehumanization process of labeling people attackers. What makes an attacker, aka an enemy of Scientology, is making a joke about Scientology or Tom Cruise. You're an attacker.
Yep.
Filing a police report against the person who committed a crime against you is considered an attack on Scientology because it suppresses Scientology's ability to get on with the good work that they're doing, saving mankind. remember, this is the most ethical group on the planet for Scientology and Scientologists. So, so these characterizations is very dangerous, right? Because, you know, that campaign, right, of being an attacker could be a mom just trying to find her child who works for Scientology's paramilitary organization called the Sea Organization, hasn't heard from her child, hasn't seen her child. And filing a missing persons or a welfare check on a child is considered an attack from Scientology.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. The policies of L. Ron Hubbard about dealing with attackers, or the fair game policies, were mostly developed in the 60s. They sort of started in the 50s. They mostly developed in the 60s. And they really came to the forefront in the 70s. And there is historically a major event that occurred in the world of Scientology, which was the FBI raid of the Los Angeles and DC churches of Scientology in 1977. And out of that came a huge number of documents. And those documents disclosed the most astonishing things that had been being done by Scientology. And remember, these were the documents that they got. And there was a system in place at the time in what was called the Guardian's office, the people that were responsible for implementing fair game and, quote, protecting Scientology, called the Red Box. And the Red Box was on the desk of important people in the Guardian's office. And that was the stuff that got shredded instantly. Mm. It was supposed to be shredded every day. So you know that when they raided and got all these documents out of the files, there was probably 10 times as many that had already been shredded.
Mm.
But put that aside. That's just a sort of a little side note.
Yeah.
The documents demonstrated that the way that the Guardian's office went about seeking to destroy the enemies of Scientology, and I'm just going to pick on two examples, Paulette Cooper and Gabe Cazares. Paulette Cooper was a writer who had never done anything against Scientology. She met someone who was a Scientologist. He told her this story about having been Jesus in a last lifetime or something. Mm-hmm. She became curious about it and went into the New York Church of Scientology in order to write a story for a magazine in New York. She wrote a story. She then got in the crosshairs of Scientology. She wrote a book about Scientology, and that really put her in the crosshairs. And Scientology engaged in a campaign literally to destroy her life, but not in figurative terms. They sought to get her, first of all, prosecuted. They framed her for making bomb threats against the New York Church of Scientology and Henry Kissinger and whatever by getting her fingerprints on a piece of paper and typing up a threat letter. They sought to get her incarcerated in a mental institution and ultimately tried to get her to commit suicide with a plant who tried to persuade her that that was probably the best thing for her to do now that she was being prosecuted in federal court in New York. This is all documented. This isn't imagination. This isn't speculation. This is the documents, Scientology's own documents, that show this. Right. Gabe Cazares, the mayor of Clearwater, who had raised questions about the way that Scientology had come in and purchased the buildings and the lies that they were telling, he became a big target of Scientology, and they set him up, framed him for a hit and run accident in Washington, D.C. when he was there for a mayor's conference. They planted false documents in government files to claim that he was a bigamist. They did basically everything that you could imagine to try and destroy his political career. They sued him for $1 million. He then, defending himself, hired an attorney who was a Scientology plant. This is all documented. Now,
and where can we see those documents, Mike?
You can find, I mean, I've got a bunch of them on my blog.
Okay.
I've got, there is a very wonderful document called the sentencing memorandum that the Department of Justice filed in the sentencing of the people who ultimately got arrested and pled guilty, including Mary Sue Hubbard and 10 other officials of the Guardian's office.
Mm-hmm.
This document lays out all of the things that Scientology was doing in a concise place. And that is, you can find that easily on my blog. Just search sentencing memorandum.
Okay.
But the reason I bring this up, Leah, is because the only reason we don't have documents like that laying out the programs and campaigns that have been done against you and the victims of Masterson and whoever else that Scientology has deemed their big enemies is that there's been no FBI raid.
Correct.
If the FBI would get in there and get the damn files, then all of those documents would come out and we would see that, yes, they did, in fact, hire this PI to follow you and Jennifer Lopez when you were in New York. And yes, they did do this. And yes, this did happen. And yes, they did go and sit outside the house of the Masterson victims. And yes, this did happen. All of those things would be laid out in these documents because they do make a lot of documents.
Well, yes, because that's one of the policies of Scientology. You have to put everything in writing.
Right.
And Mike, to just touch on one thing that you said, you talked about these operations, right? They're written out. These operations are written out. Like you're saying, like there was all these operations just on Paulette Cooper, right? I mean, there was a few. Operation Freakout was the one to get her into an insane asylum, right? So that she could no longer speak. And then there was another one, Operation Miss Lovely. Then there was another, you know, so these, and it's, you know, it says it on the actual document from Scientology, you know, get her fingerprints on a piece of paper, then on this kind of typewriter, say this, send these bomb threats to us, make it look like she, Miss Lovely, sent them. I mean, it is so egregious, Mike, right? And then, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, right? We've talked about Fair Game when we had our podcast, when we had, you know, the aftermath. We talked about this, but I don't think people really understand what this actually is and what people have to deal with, right?
Which is,
and they think it's a thing of the past almost, right? This is like history. It isn't history because it's continuing today because, although the Guardian's office changed their name to OSA, they are still applying the same policies that L. Ron Hubbard wrote on how to deal with Scientology's enemies and attackers.
Right.
And just as you're mentioning, Mike, that there are these operations that were written out, and then there's a line for the person, the OSA operative or the Guardian's office operative, to sign that they've done that thing.
Yep.
Those operations are written exactly the same today because that's what the policy states. It has to be done this way.
Yes.
And you can't change policy. So the activities surrounding the policies are not going to change.
Right. And they never will change.
Unless
the only thing that will force them to change, Leah, is outside. Pressure is the wrong word. Outside force that can be brought to bear. And I really commend or tell people, look at the lawsuit that you filed, Leah, because your lawsuit is aimed in that direction. of getting the court to declare that the activities that are abusing people in Scientology have to stop, and that there becomes a penalty for not stopping them, meaning you're in contempt of court, a violation of a court order. So your lawsuit is not a lawsuit for Leah Remini as much as it is a lawsuit of Leah Remini standing, representing everybody and saying, this whole thing needs to stop, not just for me, but for everybody. And that is going to be a really interesting case.
Okay. Listen, and you know my intention exactly as you stated. This needs to stop, not just for me, but for those after me. And for people who are likely not coming forward because they're living a peaceful life, although in pain, although dealing with things they haven't, you know, received justice for, you know, would likely come forward if they didn't have this kind of crime syndicate to destroy their lives. And it's many levels, right, Mike? It's not just about like 200 people coordinated attacks on social media. It's levels, right? It's they have information. They have access to information. Their tentacles go far and wide. They have access to the biggest agencies in Hollywood. They have access to some of the, you know, you have Sky Dayton, right, who is the owner of Earthlink, who's a Scientologist. You have the people in Clearwater, Florida, who, when our show aired in Clearwater, Florida, all of a sudden the line was cut and our show didn't air about Clearwater in Clearwater. I think we've exposed, many people have, you know, written about this, Tony Ortega, Jeffrey Augustine, you, about the relationship between the Hollywood division, the Rampart, what is it called? Wilcox division of the LAPD, their relationship with Scientology. And so a lot has been exposed to show the tentacles that reach far and wide. And it makes sense why we haven't gotten answers. We haven't received the help. Victims of Scientology had to fight, specifically in the Masterson case. These women fought to be there. This was a 7-year fight, Mike, and I was there mostly every day for the second trial. And what I saw, Mike, makes me want to go into law, because I've never seen, you know, people ask me all the time, and they probably ask you all the time, like, didn't you know this was going on? No, I did not. I many times said to you during our filming of the aftermath, I had no idea this was going on. I had no, and if I didn't know this was going on, I didn't know there was a course in Scientology that any civilian Scientologist can sign up for, Mike, that teaches its parishioners and civilian Scientologists how to destroy somebody's life. I didn't know that, Mike.
Yeah, I understand.
It's 1,200 pages, Mike. They make you demo out how to destroy somebody, how to go through their mail, how to pretend you're the... I didn't know this was going on. So if I didn't know it, some people out there don't know it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Leah. You make the point, Scientology never changes, and it's only going to change from, and I said it's only going to change from outside force. And hopefully that, you know, you have your lawsuit, the Masterson victims have their lawsuit. There are other things that are also ongoing behind the scenes, hopefully, that can result in some change to be brought about. With respect to that, I wanted to make mention of, you know, in 1977, there was a raid, so there was a bunch of documents. There's not been a recent raid, so there's no documents. But on the other hand, in 2010, after I had escaped, I turned over a lot of documents to the FBI that had come into my possession. And they never really did, not really, they never did anything with those documents. And those documents are just as devastating almost as the ones that came out in the raid from 1977. They demonstrate this pattern and practice of Scientology seeking to do things to destroy their enemies. Mm-hmm. And we are going to go through some of these, you and me. Well,
and I don't want to start cursing.
This is, yeah, don't start cursing. Okay. We don't want to get booted off YouTube. Okay. All of this is really a preamble to talk about these certain documents of this, these documents that were turned over in 2010 that are very, very relevant to the Masterson case and matter because of the similarity and similarities to some of the things that happened. But this is not one of those documents that's a program on how to destroy someone. Mm-hmm. These documents are documents that show what Scientology does to prevent information about sexual predators or sexual abusers or sexual, like, I have to be careful, I can't say the R word and et cetera, that keep that all internal.
And Mike, it is a form of fair game. Because it's fair gaming the victims.
Of course, right? Leah.
Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's just not one of those programs that we have that we're going to talk about of Yanni Lerner or the Hannah Whitfield or the Chuck Beatty or the Dave Turetsky programs that lay out this is what we're going to do to create this. These documents demonstrate more that Scientology covers stuff up big time in order to prevent PR flaps. And by definition, anybody who gets in trouble with the law or who violates the law is a PR flap.
Okay.
So these documents concern this Scientology celebrity, James Barbour, Barbour. Mm-hmm. He was a sort of a Broadway star. Singer and
he was the Phantom of the Opera.
He was in the Phantom of the Opera. He was pretty well known and he became like a big thing in Scientology in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. He was one of the featured performers at the annual IAS convention. And that is
the International Association of Scientologists.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big deal.
Yeah,
you have to be approved by David Miscavige himself to perform at that event, and only the top people are allowed to participate in that. You don't get to be a performer at the International Association of Scientologists annual event with David Miscavige present unless you're signed off on as you're a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In 2006, James Barbour was arrested for sodomy and oral sex with a 15-year-old. Now, here is what Scientology did about this. And I'm going to start running through some of these documents and explain some of this to you so you understand the significance of it. And the first document is literally the cover page of the first report about this.
And this is, Mike, I want to just ask you, because you were the head of OSA, so you're aware of these types of activities.
Yep.
This is just normal operating procedure for Scientology. When you find out that there's a situation, right? They call it a sit or a potential sit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. This is like textbook.
And this is the idea behind this, Mike, is listen, we're Sea Org members. The greatest good is to protect Scientology. And we will fix James Barbour with more Scientology. We will audit out with Scientology technology his penchant for the activities.
Being a sexual predator.
Correct. right? Which would be the same for any Scientology predator, right? Is that's the yes. thought.
It's not the purpose of this is not to protect a child predator.
Yeah.
The purpose of this is to protect Scientology.
Correct.
And let's also not forget, Leah, what Hubbard wrote about getting into the hands of the court system or law enforcement,
right.
that this is all psych influenced. And, you know, and you're basically
public enemy number one. Right.
Yeah. You're basically giving a death sentence to whoever it is that ends up in the clutches of mm-hmm. of law enforcement and the judiciary. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you put those two things together and you have a pretty powerful motivation and justification for why this is really the best thing to do.
Like, right.
keep
justify.
This guy out of the public eye. Don't let anybody find out about it because it's going to be a PR flap, but also it's going to be better for him.
Right.
And this mindset is mm-hmm. very, very ingrained in OSA. I mean, that was totally my mindset.
Right.
That was completely 100%. That was how I viewed things. What's good for Scientology is what's important. What's good for society,
yeah.
society's all messed up anyway, and we have right. to deal with that. So we got to keep Scientology going and moving forward, because only then we'll be able to save the world and every man, woman, and child in it, etc., etc.
Right.
Okay. This is the front page of this first report about this okay. subject.
Okay.
Okay. This is actually affixed to the report, which I'll show you the first page in a minute. But
okay.
let me just explain why it's done this way.
Okay.
Sit. You can see, Leah, you're exactly right. Sit alert.
Sit alert. Situation yeah. alert, everybody. Yep.
And this comes from the external security chief, OSA Int, the illustrious Kirsten Catano, which let me just, I got this picture of Kirsten somewhere.
Yeah, and so Kirsten Catano Peterson is an OSA fixture and has been for quite a while. There's Kirsten Peterson, Kirsten Catano Peterson, who has a very cozy relationship with law enforcement. Okay, and so this is going to all of these people in OSA, this report.
And RTC.
Okay. And RTC is David Miscavige's personal organization. Okay?
Deputy Inspector General Legal Affairs and the Director of Data, RTC.
And so, who's that?
I don't know who the Director of Data, but the DIG Legal Affairs RTC at this mm-hmm. time was none other than our good friend, Marty Rathbun.
Oh.
Psychopath. Okay. So let me show you the next page of this document. I'm a little clumsy at doing this, Lily, but, you know,
Mikey,
we'll make
totally
it
totally okay.
Okay, so here we go. This is the actual document. And the idea is that cover sheet can get torn off, and this document, like appearing like this, is what ends up in the files.
So what's the purpose of that?
So you have no idea who wrote this or where it was sent to. And then it has this tricky confidential attorney-client privilege note on the top of it.
Okay.
So it makes it appear that this is something, a communication between an attorney and their client. It is no such thing.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a communication from Kirsten to Kurt Weiland with a bunch of CCs, and it isn't privileged at all. There is no privilege that attaches to this document. It's
okay.
just got a statement on it.
Okay.
Okay. So it says around 5:30, got a call from James Barber stating he was at Parker Center in LA having been arrested on a charge of sodomy and oral sex with a minor that allegedly occurred 5 years ago with a then 15-year-old WOG girl. WOG, Scientology slang for not a Scientologist.
Mm-hmm.
What did OSA do? And of course, note the president CC Int, when she hears this,
yeah.
calls OSA. This is standard practice in
Scientology. Not the police.
Not the police. Not she calls anybody. OSA. Okay. Call OSA and report this at once.
And the presidents of Celebrity Center International is where, you know, I was, where the
Masterson was.
Yes. And the president at the time was Maria Ferrara. We haven't heard from her in a long time.
No,
right, exactly. So Maria contacts OSA.
Yep.
Because these are written by Kirsten Catano, these documents that we're reading from. Okay.
So then the next step is get a lawyer. And in this case, James was connected up with Elliot Abelson and criminal attorney Don Wager. Elliot Abelson was the in-house counsel for Scientology. Mm-hmm. His office was on the 10th floor of the Hollywood Guarantee Building.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Abelson was the main Scientology fixer.
Mm-hmm.
He was sort of senior to Rick Moxon and handled more delicate matters than Moxon was able to handle. Okay. Because he was actually a real attorney who had had a real law practice. But Elliot Abelson was the go-to guy when there were matters that were sensitive and needed finesse to wiggle around what would otherwise perhaps be ethical considerations that lawyers might have about what they did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was very good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this was very standard operating procedure to get immediately the lawyer involved.
Mm-hmm.
So the lawyer could be uses whatever influence he may have, and B, start this sort of veil of protection of any information that may be generated about this subject. And that was always something that was a high priority.
Right. And which is what I was witnessing again at the trial was I was seeing a lot of Scientology lawyers infiltrating the audience. And it's so infuriating because I know the policies now, because having read the OSA hat pack on how to destroy people and the policies on how to deal with legal and how to deal with sits is L. Ron Hubbard says, by the way, there's Kirsten Catano Peterson. And Kirsten's been involved in with the victims and the Danny Masterson as well.
Kirsten's been involved in everything for a long time.
Yes.
She's been around for a long time. She is a Scientology, raised as a Scientologist by her parents. Her father was in the Guardian's office and in Washington, D.C. One of the people who was engaged in the whatever. Anyway.
Engaged in what? The fair gaming of the IRS?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And as well, Kendrick Moxon, right? Who is also involved in this, as well as wasn't he an unindicted co-conspirator in?
Yes. He was an named unindicted co-conspirator in the prosecution of the Guardian's office in 1978.
And so when I say like a crime syndicate, I'm not exaggerating. Like these people have been doing this for a very long time.
Yep.
And the other thing that I was going to say, Mike, is I didn't know that Scientology works so hard as far as when I looked at these documents for the first time, and I'm seeing like there's still a naivete on my side of going, why would a real lawyer, like, I'm like, are these real lawyers or are these Scientology? You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I can't imagine, you know, where I would like go every day, Maria Ferrara and all of, you know, the people that I knew in Scientology, you know, were working so hard behind the scenes to cover these heinous crimes.
Right.
Of its
Absolutely.
Own.
Absolutely. Great. This is the April 5th document. Let's do this one. And then we'll go back to, and then we'll go to that next one when we get.
So here's another one. What does this mean, Mike? No sheets. What does that mean?
That means actually, this is like a level beyond confidential.
Okay.
This means don't put this anywhere other than in this report. In other words, don't take any information out of this and put it into the daily report.
Okay.
Don't put it into the regular files. Just this. This is it. This is the only copy of this thing that we are going to keep.
Okay.
And you will see why.
Okay.
This late last night, a referral of a good New York criminal attorney was gotten from Jerry Pfeffer, a Charles Clayman. Okay. He was actually charged in New York. Even though he was arrested in LA, he was extradited to New York because that's where this happened when he was in Broadway. A good so Scientology went around and found a lawyer, a criminal defense lawyer in New York through Jerry Pfeffer.
And by the way, and it says here, Mike, that Elliot contacted Clayman this afternoon, briefed him and Clayman, and said that he's willing to represent James.
Right.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Well, this is Scientology meddling in like this is like the example of the mafia don who has one of his guys get arrested, and so he goes out and hires the consigliere for his guy and pays the, you know, I don't know who paid these people, but I know who paid Jerry Pfeffer, and that was Scientology. I know who paid Elliot Abelson, that was Scientology. Jerry Pfeffer was David Miscavige's criminal tax lawyer and husband of Monique Yingling, the infamous Monique Yingling. Okay. But what's really important here is per an OW write-up, and that's an overts and withholds write-up, like a confession, not a priest penitent, as it says at the top, priest penitent privileged information, not priest penitent. In fact, Scientology uses things from OW write-ups all the time. You can go look on Who is Mike Rinder, and you will see tons of them in my own handwriting, my OWs. And they say, this isn't priest penitent. This is not, we're not violating any.
No, because Scientology likes to have it both ways, right?
Right. Exactly. Right. But I want to have it one way here, which is there is an OW write-up he did in January 2004. Where he said he was engaged in improper activities with a high school student. And then you get to the next page, and per a session in March 2015, he admitted that he had an out2D, an improper sexual relationship, in New York. He had sexual relations, no intercourse, but fooled around two times with the victim here. In another March 2006 session, it came up that in 2001 in New Jersey, he drove a 15-year-old WOG girl home and kissed her. And per legal input from Elliot and Moxon, if this interview, where they're planning on now doing a more interview to find out what else they might know, is conducted by a church minister under ministerial circumstances, this is privileged. We will arrange for this to be done somewhere other than CCINT. Like, they're not even going to have him on the premises in order to dig up what else he may have been engaged in.
But, and why is that, Mike?
I don't know. That's stupid. It just, that's just like, we don't want anything, any implication that we knew something that we shouldn't have known or something. I don't know.
Like, although it is in writing that they knew about it and that he had reported himself, or it was pulled from him from a Scientology auditor in session starting in 2001.
Correct. That was the point I was making. This is, they knew about this guy. They knew that he was a sexual predator. And you'll see in another one of these documents, one of these girls was 14. He was 38 years old. 14. And
Mike, it's so enraging because you bring this to the attention of people who need to know. And you know what they say? Do you have anything like in present time?
Yeah, I know. Got anything?
Now,
have you got any smoking guns?
Okay.
I want to just get to this last paragraph, please, too, Leah, because this is very, very instructive.
I agree. Go ahead.
The invest needs to be completed. This is on the victim. The invest needs to be completed to ID her psych, complete PRC, which is public records check, on her and her family, and pull any strings on what brought this about. Well, what brought this about was a sexual predator in the presence of a teenage girl. This is Scientology, victim blaming, shaming, and it like encapsulated in a sentence.
Agreed. And to your point, Mike, you said, when we first opened up this conversation, what is an attacker? What's an enemy to Scientology?
Right.
This victim was brave enough to report this to either her family or to the police directly.
Right.
And now Scientology is considering her an attacker. And so an investigation is going to be opened up into her and her family.
Right.
Yep. Go ahead, Mikey.
It's crazy.
And by the way, if everybody thinks that I'm not reacting as I should, is because I'm trying not to curse.
Yeah, I understand. This is curse-worthy material. If ever there was curse-worthy material, this is some curse-worthy material right about here. So
it's so maddening. It's so enraged. Like, I want to scream. Because it's not just James Barber.
Right.
I started making a list, Mike, of everything that I could find on blogs and websites, on Scientology websites. Mike, this has been going on, and it is
an epidemic.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Next. This was the one that I pulled up wrongly.
Yeah.
It's from another report. JB expressed that he is concerned about any damage this may create to the church and is willing to do anything needed to avoid that. And he is concerned about his bridge and wanted a study and ethics program to handle this. Not concerned about the victims.
Nope.
The chaplain told him that he would be getting a program and to start with the State of Man Congress and the Clean Hands Congress. He was appreciative of the help and said he would do this. Okay. This is proof of exactly what you were saying, Leah. The idea in Scientology, you have a sexual predator who has been engaged in prosecutable crimes against teenage girls more than one. And the way that Scientology approaches this is keep it out of the media. We will give him a program that will fix him all up. And that is it. There is nothing else. Nothing.
And that JB expressed that he's concerned about any damage this may have caused to the church. Not to his victims.
Right.
To the church. And Kirsten Catano Peterson thinks, right. So he has the right viewpoint for according to Kirsten and all Scientologists, all civilian and Sea Org members, James JB has the right viewpoint because he is concerned that this might cause a PR situation for Scientology.
Right.
And for that, he's going to have to listen to some congresses of L. Ron Hubbard, which is, you know, and it goes along with what, you know, the other stories that we've told, right? And even on our show, it's in aggregate, Mike. It's like you said, it's an epidemic. It is part of their procedures, and it's going to continue to go on, and it's going on today as we speak. James Barber served 38 days, I believe.
Yeah.
In Rikers Island. And today, like the predators before him, who, by the way, the same people are involved, meaning, you know, Moxon and Kirsten Catano, Peterson and Julian Schwartz and the chaplains and the MAAs of Celebrity Center and beyond.
Yeah.
This is a serious. I take issue with this, as most of you do. And it's obstruction of justice, Mike. It's. There's so many levels of things that I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah.
That it's not something in the past.
Right.
That this person is walking around free. Now, somebody smartly wrote an article about it just recently. In 2023,
who they did.
Is aware of, maybe not aware of these. And I think now that person might have these documents, maybe they'll do another story about it, and maybe something will be done about it. I don't know what can be done about it, Mike, if anything.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what you said, right? A raid needs to happen with Scientology files. Where are these files, by the way? Because the sits go somewhere?
Yeah. The files, Leah, are on the 12th floor of the Hollywood Guarantee building in the Invest files area and in the computers that are in OSA International. And they're all there.
That's in the Hollywood Guarantee building, Mike?
Hollywood Guarantee building. They're all there waiting to be grabbed up. And, you know, there are also files at Celebrity Center. There's files at AOLA. There's files in different other places that also have evidence of crimes. Plenty of evidence of crimes. But
Mike, you can go into any church of Scientology in any state, in any country, and open up any file, and you'll see a crime.
Right. I do want to make a point that James Barber sort of was... they kept him low profile for some time after this. They managed to keep it out of the media except for one tiny little story that appeared in the New York Post or somewhere. Mm-hmm. But generally, they were very successful in keeping this out of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And when they thought that everybody had forgotten all about this, James Barber magically reappeared like this, promoting and being at Scientology. This was in 2014. Mm-hmm. Being at Scientology events, fundraising for Scientology.
Oh,
he's
wow.
back being a hero. This guy, this person here, child molester, sexual predator, James Barber, is fundraising for Scientology. And they don't seem to care. They're just happy that nobody is bringing it up, that he is, in fact, a convicted sexual predator, that he went to jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's hobnobbing with the Scientology celebrity gang.
Oh, yeah. There's Scientologist Marisol Nichols. Who is that next to her? Oh, look, liked by Brownstone Designs by Eric and Melinda Brownstone, another more ethical Scientologist, the most ethical people on the planet.
Yeah, and here he is with really the most ethical. Oh, Grant Cardone.
Grant Cardone. Mm-hmm.
And with...
Oh, Nancy Cartwright.
The voice of Bart.
Bart Simpson. Yeah.
Marisol again. And then I want to show you, while Scientology views someone like Baba as now, oh, he's a resource for us to make some more money. Here is what the article that Leo was talking about.
Oh, right.
James Baba's welcoming at Phantom closing is painful reminder of Broadway's legacy with sexual assault issues. This writer, and I will put this actual article on my blog, took real issue with the fact that the Broadway community was willing to accept this guy back into their ranks, even though he had been convicted of a sexual crime against a teenager.
Right.
And that's not how Scientology views it. Right. Scientology views it as, well, he got away with, you know, we're now able to use him again to make some money for us.
Because it went away. Because made it go away.
We made it go away.
Right.
Nobody really noticed anymore.
And by the way, they were WOG girls, Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were really WOG girls.
Not that they treated the Scientology victims of these crimes and worse with any respect or care or empathy. Just the opposite. Right. They were all punished for having these crimes committed against them and worse, you know?
Yeah.
But go ahead. Yes. So James is just back in the fold. James is happily living his life. He's openly, you know, living just a happy life going on as a celebrated Scientologist, as most of Scientology's predators are. The reason why I wanted I was really wanting to expose this, Mike, is because it's continuing to happen. I'm going to say it again. It's in aggregate, everybody. These are not isolated. It's just what we have, right? It's just what we're able to get our hands on because somehow you had these in your possession when you left.
Right.
And the only way to get more of these, to help more people in Scientology, to not have this happen to more victims, as they could have done, they could have avoided other crimes being committed by now serial rapist, convicted rapist Danny Masterson, had he reported these crimes to law enforcement. And there's also some other people that we're very aware of, Mike, that Tony Ortega, you know, we gave that story to Tony Ortega quite some time ago about the Burbank daycare. That molester is out with no criminal record. Could open up a daycare tomorrow if he wanted to, if he hasn't already. and there's many of them who need help. So the only way to do that is to revoke their tax exemption and conduct a raid and get a hold of these files. And we're going to be doing more of these because, like I said, Mike, I was astounded. Now, I know that Mark Headley had talked about James Barber. He did a video about it. And I think Aaron Smith Levin did one as well. But we're going to cover these because I really need to get this out. I need people to know and understand what's happening.
Yes. And I have insight into these things that probably nobody else does because of the positions that I held when I was in Scientology. And I think it is helpful to hear sort of a different perspective about these, not a stranger walking in on them, but someone who knows how these things go down, what happens, and hopefully can shed some more light on it and make it more, I don't know what other word to use than just real. This is real stuff.
Yeah.
This really does happen. It's not imagined. It's not, oh, well, I read this thing where Hubbard said, this is how you go about doing this. But who knows if that ever happened?
Right.
Yeah. Whatever Hubbard said should be done is what happens.
And not to mention, Mike, by their current behavior, when law enforcement says, well, I mean, do you have anything recent? I go, well, why don't you just look at what they're doing, what they've been doing to the survivors and the brave women in the Danny Masterson case. Look what they're doing to Mike. Look what they're doing to me. Look what they're doing to Aaron Smith Levin. Look what they're trying to do with the Aftermath Foundation. Look what they're doing to the judge, to the detective, to the I mean, it's going on and on and on. And like, it's happening every day by right. their activities. I don't even need your crap operations in writing. I only need to go on social media. I only need to talk to the people who are in current cases having to do with Scientology. The madman that broke into my gated community, with it, like, this is what they do. They hire PIs through other PIs. Those PIs hire mentally unwell, unstable people. They put them after us all. They expose our families to these very dangerous people to silence us. This crap on Twitter that they do, I mean, it's very damaging, but it is almost their way of trying to distract you from what they're really doing.
Right.
And right. what they're really doing is dangerous.
Yes. You're right, Lily.
Sorry, I got upset.
It's okay. I'm so happy to be back, Leah.
Same.
You are a unique person in my world, and Mike, nobody will ever replace you.
Don't.
No matter who they are. So
make me cry.
I'm really happy that we got this done. We'll get this up as we can. Maybe we will do a live episode tomorrow. We'll see. I didn't even know when this is going to make it on there, so I shouldn't say tomorrow, but after the Masterson thing, we will see.
I love you, and I'm glad that we're able to do this. And we're going to go through these OSA files because I have so many questions.
Right.
That I've been texting you, and I have the ones that I didn't text you in a document.
Oh dear.
I was like, I'm going to wait. But I think it's important for people to hear these operations and be very well versed in what these operations are, not only for to understand what you're dealing with, but also I'm hoping that law enforcement will start to get keen to what these actually mean. So listen, one thing I want to say before we go.
Yes.
To everybody out there. We cannot thank you enough for the support that you have shown us, the support that you show the victims of Scientology, survivors of Scientology, all of these channels. I mean, people are now, everybody has their own channel on SPTV and beyond, right? Doing their own things. There's websites, there's books being written. It is it's overwhelming amount of support, but also people who are willing to speak out.
Yes.
And we love you guys for doing that. We are like, hey, please start your own
climb
channel.
On board.
Yes. Write your own book, do your own blog, whatever you can do. And for the support that you show people that you have nothing to do with, you know, a lot of people say to us still, Mike, you know, I was never in, we know you were never in because you're supporting, or I'm not in. We're like, we know you're not in because you wouldn't be talking. But we can't thank you enough, and it means so much to people. I don't think you understand how much you mean to people when you just support them on social media, buy their books, support their channels, and thank you really from the bottom of our heart, and for the love that you've shown Mike and his family. Prayers always for Mike and his family, that he continue to look as good as he does and be as healthy as he is, because it's working. So
yes,
thank you.
It is.
Bless
it
you
is.
All.
That support is a big part of.
Yeah. Yes. And you're doing great. All right. Go eat your chicken.
Okay.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You can find more episodes of Exposing Scientology both on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to check out my best-selling memoir, A Billion Years, My Escape from a Life in the Highest Ranks of Scientology. It's available on Amazon and as an audiobook. Until next time, be well and happy.